Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is Scott from North Carolina. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
So many people don't understand Spygate. And I'll just tell you this. In the early 2000s, the Miami Dolphins were hiding microphones in their shoulder pads, and they were recording Tom Brady's cadences. And teams were doing stuff like this to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick went to the league and complained, and they told him to go pound sand. So Belichick said, okay, fine. And this is why he always says, we do business as business is being done. You've heard him say that many times over, but everybody just forgets and throws that out of the picture. Well, he started filming sidelines, and you don't film the sidelines to get anything on tape that you're necessarily going to use. What you do is you force them to have to change their defensive signals, and that's a lot of work that the team has to do when they get to Patriots week or Steelers week or, you know, Packers, all these other teams that were doing it too.
Right.
And they don't want to have to do that because their players don't have the capacity to do that.
Okay, right.
And so it's a problem.
So your point is, what is your point, Scott?
Well, the point is it wasn't cheating. He wasn't like, he didn't hide someone in the crowd wearing Inspector Gadget spyglasses peeking over the top of a newspaper or something.
Uh-huh.
He put his guy right on the sideline wearing Patriots clothes with a big camera on his shoulder and said, pointed at their sideline and filmed them.
Okay.
So he's not hiding something. He didn't do that. But that's not what the Red Sox did.
Right.
And furthermore, the Red Sox and the Boston Globe, they are the reason that people think the Patriots cheated because they planted that story that was a lie about walk-through practices and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
So that's kind of like why the Red Sox are getting their comeuppance now. It's what
okay.
they get.
All right. So we finally got to your point, which is answering Ken's question this morning, why, when it comes to fans, do they forgive Bill Belichick and the Patriots, but they do not forgive Alex Cora and the Boston Red Sox?
What the Red Sox did is far worse than what the Patriots were accused of in Spygate. It's true. I mean, look at 2017, 2018, back-to-back World Series championships on two different teams with the home-road splits, with the unbelievable performances with runners in scoring position. It directly led to two championships. I mean,
the Spygate may have led to three. We don't know the full scope of it because every shred of evidence was damaged and destroyed by Goodell. I mean, all three could be tainted. Did anybody not read the Van Natta Wickersham 2015 report? Did you just put your head in the sand?
Yes,
way
the same
worse
sand
than
you can
realize.
Go pound every time that you bring up that Spygate is the reason why they won those three
at
championships.
At least 40 games
how
were
in the world,
filmed
okay,
illegally.
40,
how at least.
In the world? How? Okay, they may have been able to get an idea of what some signals were, and they may have forced some teams to do it as well. But like that guy Scott, who sounded like Teddy Bruschi with a Southern accent, said just a moment ago, a lot of it may very well have been, he did kind of think about it.
Yeah.
It may have been, go, gadget phone call. It may have been that the Patriots were trying to get people to change the signals. And yes, he did bring up the point that Belichick was sort of complying with the rules. They say you can go right up to here. Has Belichick never been a guy who won't, when you draw the line in the sand, be the guy whose toe is legally and literally right behind there, if not by his own definition, across the line?
They both cheated.
Well.
But Fitzy said this earlier, Greg. The Patriots' record after Spygate and after Deflategate proves that neither of those had any real impact. I mean, the Patriots have been better in the 2010s than they were in the 2000s.
Well, where's
sure,
the Spygate 2 investigation reveal? We had that yet?
Ken,
or did it continue for the last 10
Ken,
years?
Ken, I'd rather honestly hear about you having sex than talk about the impact of Spygate 2. I legitimately would.
They've been vindicated. They've been cleared at all that.
They have? I thought the ruling was supposed to be out.
That football operations was not involved whatsoever.
The punishment will come. It'll be excessive. But we're all going to still be grieving the season or wondering why the Patriots weren't hosting an AFC championship. Too busy wondering how in the world they couldn't score more than 13 points or any in the second half in the wild card game. And by the way, if you really want to just wrap your mind around exactly how extensive this whole Alex Cora thing is, there's this peach by this guy. Peace by
you're
this guy.
Peach.
Hey, there's this peach sitting across from me. Hey, Daniel, hey. What are you doing after the show?
Oh, going to hang out with one of them a little bit.
There's a piece on Bleacher Report by Scott Miller that came out a little over a day ago. That when you just, once again, read the whole operation, Alex Cora setting up the TV, feeding off the center field monitor, and then just thinking about, like, just when you go over, like, Yu Darvish, and now his postseason stats are trash, and Clayton Kershaw, who is Mr. Non-Clutch in the postseason to begin with the inflated stats against the Astros and possibly against the Red Sox, now all of a sudden you feel bad for these guys. Granted, they're 100 millionaires, but you kind of feel bad. And Alex Cora may have largely been to blame for all of this.
May have been? We know he was in Houston.
The
only people who apparently don't think he was doing it here are John Henry, Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy, and Lou Maloney. And then those are the only people who don't. I mean, I think the difference is that Alex Cora was doing it, apparently, in game, at free random.
Right, and Belichick wasn't literally, now of course Ken will say, well, what about the radio that would come into Tomlin's headpiece when he would come out and play against the Patriots?
No, if you read the Van Atta piece, which obviously you didn't in 2015 or you're having amnesia, the defensive signals were decoded to the point where Ernie Adams would be able to tell it's a blitz, it's a run. He would get in headsets, and they were active in games after decoding signals.
If there were ever to be proof that the Patriots were getting in-game signals of decoded signals from people that were outside the legal specter of football operations, then I think Patriots fans would feel bad about those first couple of championships. And yes, they would be asterisked, or they would be, I don't know, tainted, if you will.
Tainted.
But right now, Cora looks worse, and I'll bet you now the heat's going to start coming down on the Mets.
You think so?
Yes, because of Beltran.
Let's deflect.
Just
the Mets.
Got an email. 2:00 today. Red Sox announced the hiring as Dave Mondillo as new manager.
Might as well be Matt Walsh. I mean, it's the same thing.
This is Mike from Florida. What's up, Mike?
Morning, guys. How we doing?
What's
Hello,
going
Mike.
On?
Peachy.
So I've been thinking about, like, why it is that there's an overwhelming majority of people that are more trusting of the Patriots. I think there's still kind of like that, like, Patriots fans have had to endure so much of these scandals and allegations, and whether or not they're true or not, it's we're kind of conditioned as Patriots fans to be defensive and in some ways to kind of, like, you know, skim over the actual issue and just be dismissive of it. Whereas with the Red Sox fans, even though we've won four World Series in the last two decades and the Yankees haven't won pretty much squat, it's still that mentality that the Red Sox are the lowly Red Sox and the Yankees are the evil empire. That's the way we've been conditioned to think. So it's just natural for New England fans to kind of defend the Patriots, because that's what we've been doing all along.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there are several texters, Ken, who want to be clear when it comes to filming that it wasn't illegal in 2001.
It was not illegal to videotape signals and decode them.
Correct.
No, it was not. No,
it was
only
not.
It became from where the Patriots did it, and then the memos were issued saying,
well, that's
you're not allowed
here.
To do
where?
It from here. You're not allowed to do it from this particular area, only on this part of the sidelines. You can't do it over there.
Okay, can I read a little passage?
Please.
During games, Walsh told investigators the Patriots videographers were told to look like media members, tape over their team logos, turn their sweatshirt inside out, to wear credentials that said Patriots TV or Kraft Productions. They were provided with excuses to tell NFL security, if asked, what they were doing. Tell them you're filming the quarterbacks or the kickers or footage for the team show.
Yes,
they were given assignments
in
game to go in various places on the field and film. You're telling me that was not illegal?
I mean, what is your definition of legal?
What is your definition of legal?
What's your definition of is?
Or did Walsh have an axe to grind? I mean, now we'll be back to smearing Matt Walsh. I mean,
I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, is Matt Walsh not the ultimate patsy? I mean,
yeah. All right, we don't have time right now, Danielle, but I want to get to back to your lead mm-hmm. about California and the class that they are going to mandate. And it's not American history, if you were wondering. So we'll get to that coming up right now. We'll find out what is trending.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the Nines every Thursday night in the bar, 50 cent bone-in wings. And you can play trivia for a chance to win a $50 gift card to the 99 and other great prizes. The 99 Restaurants, always the real deal. Quick NFL note, Bill Vinovich has been named Super Bowl referee. He has been stained by several infamous misses, including, of course, Saints and Rams. So the NFL is on it. They're putting Vinovich in the Super Bowl.
With the Vinovich crew is the Nicole Roby Kelman guy.
Correct.
Oh, my, you've got to be kidding me.
They missed the PI for... unbelievable. But the Saints are eliminated, so they can't pitch, right? That'll be... We haven't talked any NFL this week. There's been so much other stuff going on.
Wiggy will be here tomorrow gloating about his appearance in the Aaron Hernandez documentary. Yes. So we can
Was it really good? I mean, I haven't seen it yet. Yes.
Yeah, his part?
He was Wiggy. I mean, I know this... From personal experience, the television, the camera adds a good 15 or 20 pounds.
How many cameras were on it?
I don't know how many were on it.
Now, we pulled the audio. I have not heard this yet. Is it worth a live?
Yeah, sure.
Listen here. Here's Wiggy in the Hernandez talk.
I have to commend Ursula Odin Lloyd's mother because of the power she carried. Because I know I could never do that. If that was my son or my daughter... I could never do that because the anger would just and I remember seeing her talk a bunch of times and just the way she carried and presented herself was amazing to me.
How many takes do you think it took to get rid of the double negatives?
There was a lot of editing, a lot of cutaways.
It was like emotional Wiggy.
He's very emotional. Yeah, I like it. Emotional Wiggy. He fits right in, right? That's in episode 2, I think.
Yes, Revenge of the Wigs.
Yes.
The producer called me last night. He said it would have been out in September if not for Wiggy's part. It took 6 months to edit.
No. He's not here to defend himself. Let's get after it.
Of course, the big news was the Red Sox press conference and their reaction to the firing, the release, whatever you want to call it, of Alex Cora. And then we had Terry Francona on OMF. He was asked just for his initial reactions to Cora being
let go. What's your take? You've seen what's going on in Houston. You've seen what happened to Alex Cora here. What is your take?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that. First of all, we can't really comment on things, you know, like punishments that are meted out by the commissioner. I mean, I think that's kind of obvious. Personally, you know, because Alex is such a good friend of mine, I'm you feel like you got kicked in the stomach a little bit.
So, Terry, sympathetic to his cause, but was adamant later, not everybody was doing this.
Yeah. Well, Alex, great guy. I mean, we heard that from everybody there yesterday.
The best.
Marvelous. The best.
Tremendous. Such a tremendous guy.
Thanks,
tremendous.
Guys.
Cared about the entire organization, mm-hmm. the marketing department. The interns cared about everybody.
Don't reserve judgment on how great a guy he is, but just don't have a judgment on cheating.
Yeah.
Bruins Penguins tonight at the Garden. Brett Ritchie placed on waivers. Carson Coleman could be back. Celtics lost to the lowly Pistons 116-103 in one of their tougher losses of the year. It's the Greg Hill Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Yeah, look, I think it's clear that we're going to honor the commissioner's directive to not speak about the investigation.
We're here to answer your questions, but it would be inappropriate for any of us to comment on the ruling against another club.
Steve, we're not going to get into specifics around job interviews out of respect for the commissioner's directive. We'll leave it at that.
Just reserve comment on it until it's complete.
Again, we're going to honor the commissioner's directive to not discuss anything related to the baseball investigation.
Next to you in silent lucidity,
how long are we supposed to reserve judgment for? How long does that go, Ken? Is it 6 months, a year, 2 years?
I think it took 60 days for the Astros investigation, so we may be in for a 2 month run here.
Rank some press conferences for me. You guys have been doing this for a long time. Where does that one rank?
That's
when
like
it
a
comes
six
to,
on the Belichick scale. It's not even that bad. It's like
oh my god,
absurd. Like absurdity. Where does that rank
that's
when it comes to?
That's a top five worst.
Oh,
is it?
Come on.
What are you kidding? Well, all right, let's just be clear. Mona Lisa Vito is number one. Do we have to put this together? All right, let's get the crack team together.
Well, that was one of the best. What do you mean worst? That Mona Lisa Vito was captivating. That was awesome.
That's what I'm saying. That was the best.
Right. Oh, the best.
Nick's going to list the 5,000 Patriots ones he liked, then we'll get to the Red Sox. Yes.
No, I'm going to do a top five listicle right now on WEEI.com. Top five.
So what do you got? You got that number one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got number two?
What about the Hernandez one that you just watched with the doc? That's awesome, right?
That's pretty good.
I was awful that it took place, but yeah, Belichick was pretty forthcoming in that
one.
I mean, we're on to Cincinnati.
Can you think of any?
Is there anyone from the Celtics or the Bruins that would even crack the top 10?
No, I would say yesterday's announcement, considering what's at stake regarding the championship and everything, was the worst press conference in the history of the Red Sox.
It's what we expected, right? Didn't we preview this press conference yesterday? And basically, Greg, you said, I don't expect them to say anything, which they didn't.
Right.
So why are we all shocked?
No, they didn't say anything. They threw Cora under the bus via Tom Werner, Cora unable to be there to defend himself. And you had the obvious and clear disdain that they have for the media and their fans, with the fact that they couldn't even say that we were sorry or that this is embarrassing.
They are acting like nothing went on that was wrong here.
It's almost like they're holding a report card with straight A's, you know, and about to hand it to their parents with this report coming out. Like, they think somehow, as Ken's pointed out, that they're going to be given a clean bill here, and that's not the case. He cheated with the Red Sox just like he cheated with the Astros.
The message was, Alex Cora is a great guy. We love Alex Cora. Brought us a World Series. Did what he did with Puerto Rico. A guy who cared about the whole organization. And it's really a shame that we had to part ways with him. But Alex didn't think that he could go on. Alex didn't think that he could effectively manage this team. That 781 texter says he couldn't effectively manage this team because he couldn't cheat anymore.
Right.
That's what a 781 texter
He didn't know how
says.
To do it anymore. Well, we took away his ace card, so he couldn't play with his hand anymore.
Well, now, Belichick did well after Spygate, so maybe Cora's a good manager, and if given a second chance, he'd redeem himself.
This just reeks of, like, the most contemporary, obnoxious parenting, where it's like, well, you know, you go ahead and grade yourself. We don't want to subject you to one of those schools where they give you tests and quizzes. We're just going to let you, Jericho, Hamilton, we're going to let you guys figure out what your grades should be.
Rick Pitino.
Oh,
and the Larry Bird
not walking through that door. Larry Bird is not walking through that door. Robert Parrish is not walking through that door. And
Larry
I would also
Bird
like to
not walking through that door, fans.
I'd also like to nominate sneaky great Red Sox press conference where Tito was addressing the media and Poppy came in to bitch about his RBI. Awkward theater, party of two.
What about these people saying Ortiz ought to be the manager?
I totally agree.
You do?
Totally.
You think he's ready for that, or can he? I mean, does it? He just
might. Yeah. Yeah.
He was just shot.
He's fine.
He's fine.
He's fine.
can't even finish the investigation.
I like Ken's suggestion. Hey, guys, how great am I managing the Red Sox? How great are the Red Sox? I actually like Ken's pick for Bruce Bochy, the only man who could be in Boston with a head larger than mine. He's a giant human being. I have a size 8 helmet, so it's a pretty damn big lid. Somebody would come in, veteran manager, stabilize things. It would be boring as hell, but at least you know that the team would be in decent, capable, experienced hands for a couple of years.
How great is baseball, guys?
Guys.
That Dave is still in the Dominican.
Nice try tonight, guys. That's okay. We'll get him next week, time, guys.
If David's the manager, all the players will get a brand new white Lexus.
What about the Welker foot press conference? Pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Rex Ryan.
Want to know why we can't appreciate that? Because they got pantsed by the Jets in the divisional round that Sunday.
Yeah. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
What's going on?
Wow. This is juicy. Think. Dropsy Edelman getting a drunken disorderly. It doesn't even make the headline because we are off the charts. Let's keep it real. If you're going to cheat, you go all the way. Did they cheat? It certainly looks that way. High tech with repeat and prior offenders. It also looks like they were gaining a ton of weight really fast, and then they lose a ton of weight. Not saying nothing, but maybe quick start, jump start was juiced to the gills. However, I have to state right off the rip, the joy of the bliss that we as fans got from watching what they did and what he did with his brain in assembling these ingredients, he is a genius. Cheating? Yeah, absolutely, but he still pulled it together and brought us something that's never been done, a first-year manager. And don't feel like we're cheated or we're stupid. We're not victimized because victimization requires acceptance. And this is going to pan out. This is the juiciest story ever. And there's tons of stories behind it. We could talk forever about the different angles and aspects. And one quick closing point. I mentioned this to Aaron when I met him before he was Aaron of the Patriots. I understand what you went through as a child is awful. But everyone gets divorced. Everyone's mother cheats. It's how you react that is going to determine your life. And please be proactive, not reactive, because that's an American tragedy and something the kids should learn from. In summary, this is a chance to look better into the future, find out what we did wrong, and try to avoid pointing fingers because everyone uses steroids in baseball, and they all try to steal signs. We just happen to be a lot better at it.
What's that? Is that a written piece from that?
Nick wrote it and emailed it to us.
I was going
to
say, can we get like the NBC, the more you know, graphic to run across the screen?
It might have been, may have been longer than one of your leads.
I know. Yep. Let's cut to Tom Brady saying, so what was the question?
He said he met Aaron Hernandez before Hernandez?
The point he made, though, about like, you know, we've all been from these families, whatever. My parents' marriage was a disaster. There was cheating all over. And hernia surgery came this close to killing my dad in 1999 as well. Still haven't murdered anyone last time I checked.
Yeah.
Yep. So what's the question?
I don't think, I mean, you're halfway through the documentary. Am I correct about that? Nick?
Yes, sir.
You're halfway through.
I am.
Do you...
I have it paused right on Wiggy's triple neck.
They paused the documentary to get a bigger camera.
Why is he in this? Just because he played tight end for the Patriots? Was he a mentor to Wiggy?
No, I don't think Wiggy...
Do they know each other?
I think he just was sitting talking and they caught him. Like, it was just randomly somewhere.
I don't
somewhere.
Know how... we'll have to ask him tomorrow how he got in it.
Part of the tight end brethren over there. Lacoste wasn't available.
Yeah. Daniel Graham was too busy dropping a pass somewhere.
But did any of it, his upbringing, his mom, did any of that, in your mind, excuse what he did? No. Did it change your mind about any of that?
No.
Okay.
No. You understand it, maybe? It engendered sympathy, but it did not excuse the behavior.
Okay.
It doesn't excuse it. Maybe it explains it. But it doesn't excuse it.
Well, but I don't know if you can even explain it because there are lots of people who go through what he went through and they don't, as Nick is saying, they don't do what he did.
There are lots of people who can stop drinking and lots of people who can't stop drinking. The human brain is an incredibly powerful force and it's very very much shaped by the experiences that you have in your life and the influences around you. So just because one person can go through the same thing and not become a homicidal maniac doesn't mean another person wouldn't. Again,
but
not an excuse, not a pass.
But if you believe the people that they interview, like the people that he went to high school mm-hmm. with, mm-hmm. the people that he played with, he was the nicest guy, lovable,
sociopaths
caring.
Usually are on right. the outside.
Every single one of these photos.
Antisocial personality disorders, that's the whole thing, is that that's how they dupe people. Sociopaths, narcissists, they gaslight. You think that they're like, you're like, oh, this is the greatest person ever. But underneath, no.
Every single photo, by the locker, grabbing onto his buddies.
Yeah.
Aaron was the class clown. He was such a goofball. And they show all these photos of him, like, photobombing people and just, like, being wide-eyed and grinning. That's what makes me think, like, every picture, Curtis is smiling. We'll probably all end up dead in his hand one day.
I mean, that's irresponsible.
Now, if you have sympathy for Hernandez, don't you then have to have more for Antonio Brown and what he went through and for doing less?
I guess you would. Yeah, I guess.
Oh, that's tomorrow, 6 to 10.
I guess you would.
That's tomorrow.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Any comments on the documentary kind of almost sort of blaming your predecessor for the suicide?
Blaming my predecessor for the suicide? I have no idea where you're going with this.
Did you watch the third part towards the end where they brought up the McPhee and Callahan interview?
I don't. Mm-hmm. I think that's ridiculous. I think if you look at Aaron Hernandez, the guy, and this is what I'm talking about high school and seemingly normal, and then 5 years later, mm-hmm. essentially 6 years later, gunning down two guys because somebody spilled a drink at a club.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody
can be blamed for that. Nobody can be blamed for what he did.
A drink spill at a club turns into a double 38 special outside of the club a couple hours later.
Yeah.
The one fact, somebody just tweeted it last night, and it just, when you read it, you're just like, oh my God. Aaron Hernandez was 23 years old and a multimillionaire when he was arrested for murder. So that means this kid had not even, what do they say, you really become an adult when you're done growing when you're 27. He was still a kid. And if you think about how infantile, like I described him before, he was in his behavior and how secretly battered he was and all the ghosts and skeletons he was hiding in his closet, this kid was just a disaster. He was a time bomb waiting to happen.
It's great television. It's not as good as The Outsider, but it's great television.
It's off. It's really, really. It sucks.
It's amazing.
Yes, it's great. Sad. It's compelling television.
It's an American tragedy, like the guy said.
But I find it frustrating. I mean, imagine if your Odin Lloyd's family or the Furtado families. There's no documentaries about their life now and what was ruined. There's no feelings or remorse about how their life and everything was damaged by this sociopath murderer.
Actually, Curtis, in episode one, they spend a nice 10-minute long chunk letting you get to know Odin Lloyd,
yes,
portraying him as a local hero.
Well, they got the stuff with the semi-pro team that he played for.
And they said that, you know, that great soundbite in the first episode about how Odin, like Aaron Hernandez, he was real life rich, but we thought he was poor. But Odin Lloyd, he didn't have that much, but he was the rich guy. He was the hero in the neighborhood. That was the star to everybody in Dorchester.
And then the pure, like, stupidity of Aaron Hernandez with the home security system. And I think you have to look at it, and I know we got to take a break, but you also have to look at the fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And they show her up on the stand, not remembering what dumpster she put the trash bag in that she removed from the house.
Did you take it? Yes. Did you bag it up? Yes. What'd you do with it? Oh, I put it in dumpster. Where? I don't remember.
I don't remember where the dumpster was. Yeah. All right, we will be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
We couldn't turn around till we were upside down.
I think maybe this texter was not listening to your lead this morning, Danielle.
Yeah.
A 617 texter wants to know why you have an issue with California and a potential new law which would mandate that climate change is taught in schools. And I don't think – I think
I
you
don't
brought
have an
that
issue
up.
With it. I think it's interesting that they're mandating this because it's not really being done anywhere else. And, you know, climate change, obviously a very hot-button issue. Whether or not it's real.
Is it hot or is it a cold or is it a cold button? Used to be a hot-button issue. Now it's a cold-button issue. Or it's the other way around. Used to be a cold button. Now it's hot. Yeah, but you see, so you don't have an issue with it.
I don't have an issue with it. No, I think it's an interesting topic of discussion because I know there are varying viewpoints within this studio and you know, on
I'm
the
sure
other side of the
be
glass.
Several viewpoints that are presented in this curriculum.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be open for debate and discussion.
You think so?
I think if Mackenzie says plastic's okay, she's expelled.
I'm sure they'll talk about the carbon crust, and I'm sure they'll talk about fracking and all that stuff. You know, interesting that they would do this in a place like California where you've got everyone, Leonardo DiCaprio and everyone, like, you know, flying the private plane, but they're, you know, Prius shaming you and Tesla shaming you. And yet California produces the most almonds for everyone who has to go get their soy or their, all you know, their macchiato with almond milk.
Yeah.
And there is no greater drain on your fresh water supply than almonds. It takes
or Tom Selleck's avocado
Curtis,
farm.
I'm not wrong.
He's not wrong.
I'm shaming the earthers who are always like, we have to save everything on earth. Yes, I'll have a double extra large super grande macchiato with almond milk.
Yeah.
Almond milk's like the worst thing for planet earth.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not kidding.
Almonds use a ton of water to grow.
And California is always like, help, we have no water.
It's very hypocritical.
We are losing our minds. We're mad at almond eaters?
No, he's pointing out the hypocrisy, you boob.
Yeah, he is. He's pointing out the hypocrisy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't drink almond milk. I drink oat milk.
Is oat milk okay?
Yes, it's a lot.
No, you drink goat milk.
What's that?
Goat milk.
No, I actually don't like the taste of goat milk.
That's not what I was going with that.
I know you weren't.
Oat milk's good. Oat milk's not bad. I don't mind oat milk.
You do realize that these all change over time. One year, plastic is good. Paper's bad. The next year, it's the opposite. It's just like dieting. Every couple years, the global warming nuts have a new plan.
Make sure that nut is not an almond.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
And sometimes you don't.
Ooh. Let us not take this planet for granted.
I called Curtis a boob. Mounds. Get it?
I love mounds.
Be here all week. Tip your waitress. Try the veal. I'll see myself out. I'll take a lap.
Mom, I brought this up when Danielle was doing her lead, but we don't even teach American history in our schools anymore. And they want to mandate a climate change class. That seems a little odd to me.
I guarantee you people, a 10-year-old child now knows more about where or where not you can use a plastic bag and less about World War I and World War II, which they absolutely should know. Nobody knows a damn thing about the turns of those centuries, but everyone will tell you everything about where you can and cannot recycle. And they should know that, but if we're just going to completely forget our history, then what's the damn point? Obviously, we're just doomed to repeat it.
And they're also going to be banning Stephen King books.
Yeah. Cancel.
From all schools in California.
We're going to cancel Stephen King. We're going to cancel almonds.
And cancel Stephen King.
Yeah. And meanwhile, there are actual poop maps around San Francisco where you can see the growing human fecal matter.
We're
worried about what we're teaching about climate Earth and Mother Earth in our climate.
Yes, we'll have climate class in Los Angeles. By the way, please visit Skid Row where there are miles and miles of tents set up with people living on the sidewalk. Hooray for
Has today been an angrier text day than normal, Danielle?
It has.
Mostly,
because
it's not because
I've engaged more on the text line than usual days, so that's the barometer.
This individual is infuriated because I'm standing up for Stephen King. Really? I mean, rather than text in about how I'm a racist, call the show and explain it to me.
Ooh, should we call an angry texter?
Maybe we should.
That's a great bit.
I like calling angry texters.
I love you guys. I listen to you every day, all day, but what I'm saying is,
for Stephen King to be a bad person because he tweeted after the Academy Award nominations that when it comes to art, he makes his choices. He votes as an Academy member based on quality and doesn't consider diversity.
Mm-hmm.
For him to be under attack for that is ridiculous.
I mean, look, you know, far be it from us to be those people because we're going to get lumped into the, you know, Oscars so white category. But I just don't understand why you can't let quality and merit speak as opposed to like, this movie's amazing, but we decided not to nominate it because we have to fill a category, a quota.
But our,
it just seems our, but a our, little absurd.
But our moviegoers, the issue is not with what wins the Academy Awards. The issue is if Hollywood is not hiring talented people because of their gender or because of their race, that's on Hollywood. That has nothing to do with what people are voting in as the best picture or the best director.
Right.
I mean, the
big storm this year is all stirred up, and this I believe is the first time we've ever had a nominee for a best foreign film. The guy who did Snowpiercer has Parasite. He's been nominated, so there is some diversity, obviously, in the best director category. But everyone got their movie panties up in a bunch because the woman who did Lady Bird and did the latest Little Women adaptation was not nominated. So obviously, the entire system's broken. Let's tear it all down.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
But don't you think most people of color have to work harder to get, in Hollywood specifically, to the heights that others...
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know firsthand I would say it's probable.
I'm not there, right? Wiggy will tell you that I can't relate to it because I'm a white guy. But isn't that an issue with Hollywood?
Well, okay, but King's commenting on Hollywood.
He's not. What he is saying is that when he's watching a film,
yeah,
as an Academy member and a voter, he is choosing it as the nominee based on the quality of the work. Isn't that how moviegoers choose whether they like a movie or not? They're not choosing it based on whether it was directed by a man or a woman.
But if you were like a young black filmmaker and you saw Stephen King say that as like part of the hierarchy of the voting elite in Hollywood, wouldn't you say, he doesn't get me? He doesn't understand what I've gone through to try to get to this point?
I guess, Ken, I mean, I mean, do you make, when you're watching a film, you went to see 1917
yesterday. Yep.
How was it, by the way?
Unbelievable. Great.
Really?
great, great, great. Maybe the best war movie I've ever seen. I'm like wrestling between that and Saving Private Ryan.
I was
going to
say, better than Saving Private Ryan?
It's like, or it's... visually, it's so unique in the way it's done. I know people have talked about the one-shot thing and maybe overdone it, but you've got to see it in the theater, like a big screen. It is.
Better than Bridge Over the River Kwai?
Oh, that's good.
How about Guns from Navarone? My dad used to eat raw liver and chew nails and watch it every Saturday morning on Channel 56.
But it is 2 hours of like gripping. It's good.
But did you pause at the end and say, was this directed by a man or a woman before I determined whether it was a great film or not?
But I'm not voting on the Academy Awards. Well, no, but if King
you
is.
So you think that those who are voting on what the best picture is should pause and make their vote based on whether it was directed by a man or a woman?
At very minimum, keep your mouth shut if you're an old white guy.
So Stephen King needs to keep his mouth shut. He's not entitled to an opinion.
As a voter, he should.
Hollywood took a bad turn when The Hurt Locker won everyone's awards for Best Picture, and then I don't believe Catherine Bigelow, former wife of James Cameron, was even nominated for Best Director. And she's made some of the best contemporary war films with Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty.
Both are great films.
Yeah, Zero Dark Thirty is a sneaky good movie.
It is a sneaky good movie. This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
How are you doing? Martin Luther King said that in the I Have a Dream speech, not to be judged by his color. And it works both ways. A white guy shouldn't get extra points either.
No.
If he makes a movie.
No. I think Stephen King is just, I mean, we're talking about art. He's talking about judging art. He's not talking about giving somebody a job or hiring some. He's talking about how he judges a film from a quality perspective. I don't understand what's wrong with that.
And Greg, you know contemporary art better than anybody I've ever met. I mean, you judge it based on just the content of the art.
The last movie to be, shall we say, African-American centric last two that have won in this past decade, there was Moonlight and then 12 Years a Slave. And I know there's a huge uproar when 12 Years a Slave, which is a great movie, but an upsetting watch, obviously. The Best Director did not go to Steve McQueen, but it went to Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity, which I think is one of the most overrated movies that I think I've ever seen in my life.
This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hey, Greg.
Hey.
I think the previous caller kind of got what I was getting at. It seems like in society we've done a complete 180 where instead of judging people off of the content of their character, we are now basing it upon how they look and what they look like, either a man, a woman, a black man, a white man.
Sure.
I just don't get why everything has to be based upon visual perspective rather than quality of work or the best hire.
And that's all that Stephen King was saying, but his brethren are eating him. Like, eating him. It's like a plane crash. It's a plane crash where they're, or a boat that's adrift at sea with four people on it, and they've now turned and they've started to eat their own.
Why would you go out of your way to say, I don't really care about diversity, I just care about the quality of the film? It's like a shot. It's a backhanded shot.
He didn't say that.
That's what it feels like, though. It's a multi-tweet,
I think that's a misguided perception. He didn't come out and say diversity be damned. It's just the best. This, I mean, diversity can be a factor or consideration, but quality speaks at the end of the day to him. I think that's all he's saying in my mind.
But his first tweet is for me. The diversity issue did not come up. Like he brings it up. He's wading into the diversity doesn't matter waters.
Well, because people are complaining. Because it's mostly men and mostly white actors and actresses who have been nominated this go around.
Mm-hmm.
Nominated.
But after he tweeted that, Stephen King, after he tweeted about that he would never consider diversity in matters of art, only quality, the tweet right after that, he says the most important thing we can do as artists and creative people is make sure everyone has the same fair shot. Like, you can't be more clearly wanting to represent all people in the same breath as what he just said. So I don't understand how people could be offended.
Why would you say this? If you're Stephen King, you're a voter, where it's an obviously sensitive issue at the Academy, as you mentioned. It's been the topic there multiple years. Why would you go to the diversity issue? Doesn't matter. What? Because, you think that's a smart move by Stephen King?
Because it's your opinion? Why? He can't express
Let me tell you something, young voters.
No. Rip the stitches out.
The
no,
diversity
honestly,
issue does not matter.
Rip that the
sounds
stitches
great
out.
Idea in 2020.
Rip the stitches out at this point. Just pull the Band-Aid off. Rip the stitches out. Can we stop dancing around this at this point? Like, Moonlight wins, but the best director went to the young white guy who did La La Land, so there's another obvious bias in Hollywood. Like, it's just going to go on and on and on and on. So if someone has, maybe if anything, we should thank Stephen King for at least, you know, being willing to take the slings and arrows.
And Ken just said, why would you say this in 2020? It's 2020's fault, not Stephen King's fault. This is logic. Like, just because our society has gotten out of control when it comes to this topic isn't Stephen King's fault.
Diversity.
This is Matt from Dover, New Hampshire. What's up, Matt?
Hey, not much. On my way to work. Got a 2-hour delay, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh, that's
excellent.
Cool.
Yeah, not bad. I was just calling in. I'm a teacher, so one of the things that I see a lot in students is that there just isn't people that represent them in a lot of things. And I think just being able to give more examples of diversity is just always a good thing. And so when we're looking at people voting for Oscars, I think a lot of times the people voting, just because of the history of the Oscars, it's going to be mostly white men voting. So what are the interests of them going to be voting, right? So if you're an 80-year-old white man, you're probably not interested in little women as much as someone who is a woman. So you're probably going to overlook it. Same thing as there's other films like The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Just a, you know, wonderful film. I actually don't know if that one got nominated for anything or not, but there's just some very interesting films coming out, and I think sometimes it's just they get overlooked.
So you think Stephen King, how old is Stephen King? Is he 70?
No, I mean, Stephen King's definitely not 80. He's in his 70s probably. And I'm not saying Stephen King's a racist or anything. He probably isn't. But I just think he's coming from a point of he might not recognize that, like, just because he didn't necessarily like a film doesn't necessarily mean that other people don't like films. So I think just because of interest. And it's not necessarily, he's just going to be more interested in films that speak to him, and he's a white guy. So it's just, he's going to be adjusting those kind of films.
Yeah, maybe.
He is 72.
72.
And the Oscar, just to clarify, what is it, the American Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences and old white guys is predominantly, like, super old and super white.
Okay.
Well, but, there's a little bit of a country club approach towards the Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Club, and that
so
could change.
So those old white guys, they're not picking what they think is the best film. They're just picking based
like,
on...
Like, oh, another old white guy, you get the Oscar.
I haven't been to the movies in 19 years, but Lenny told me that The Joker was fun.
What do I do with this DVD screener? What is this? What is DVD?
Screeners are so 5 years ago.
Oh, hey, yeah. Jerry.
Good morning, boys and girls. How's everyone?
What's going on, Jerry?
You'll forgive me. I'm fighting a cold, so I sound like I'm going through puberty, but I'm 60.
Right.
Puberty was way back. The reason we are in the condition we're in, the reason why they're turning on their own and eating Stephen King alive is because everybody has to have some type of victimhood. Whether, for whatever case it may be, it is what it is. What Stephen King was trying to say, and funny that a man of words would say it poorly, but what I think he was trying to say was, it's not a factor in my equation whether you are a minority, a female, a white male, or whatever the case may be. I'm judging the product on the product. And if I look at a movie and it's a great movie and it happens to be made and directed by an African-American female, then that's great. If it's a rotten movie and it happens to be made by a fat old white guy, well, it is what it is.
But he can't say that. Ken says
a guy who's put a billion words on paper can't put it that way.
Ken says that you can't.
What we need, Greg, is we need somebody, a multi-ethnic shim, to say it. An androgynous. We need an androgynous robot. We need.
It should be a robot.
We need the lady bot from Ex Machina to say this.
We actually have some exclusive audio from Stephen King on this.
Okay.
I'm not a racist. You know, my wife is Spanish. You know, come on.
You know, come on. All right. Well, anyway, That's what's going on when it comes to the Oscars, and we will be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.